Hey, everybody, welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's episode of Real Talk, Real Leaders has a real one herself, for sure, for sure. We share several friends in the industry. And I'll tell you what, Felisa Israel, is that right?
That's correct.
Felisa is pure in her heart. She speaks her mind. And her entire career has about impact from some of the biggest, brands in the sports entertainment industry, to impacting youth in education. And so I want to thank you. Thank you for coming today and thank you for using your voice as you do.
Yeah. I'm so excited to be here with you. Let's get this party started.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got dressed up for you.
I know you sure did.
I haven't worn anything like this in a very long time, but you know, might as well like create that energy and bring it back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're doing it well. So talk about your evolution. So you have come up and you were leading the NBA's entertainment division, correct?
I started at the Phoenix Suns during the Charles Barkley era. Uh-huh. That was a blast and super magical. And then what took the magic to the next level was being a part of the evolution of the WNBA and helping to start and create the Phoenix Mercury, which as a female was pretty amazing to be a part of that historical time. And then when I was done with Phoenix, I was like, I want big, you know, big city, big lights. And so I went to New York. And because the NBA All-Star Game was in Phoenix in 95. I created some amazing relationships with the league. So it was just a natural progression for me. So I went to New York and worked for NBA Entertainment in 2000.
And you did that and you ran the show for what, like 10 years, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that I ran the show, but I definitely contributed to the show. I produced and directed large-scale live events like the All-Star Games and international exhibition games. And then for those out there who are familiar with the NBA, there was a division that had started called Teambo, which stands for Team Marketing and Business Operations. And I was one of the OGs that would go around and evaluate teams and report our findings back ultimately to the commissioner, David Stern at the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting because, you know, I was a part of the early days of the WNBA, the MBDL, now the G League. I make myself sound like a dinosaur when I say these things. Some of the teams aren't even existing anymore. I know. And then was at the Nets for 7.5 years. And it's so interesting.
The New Jersey Nets or the Brooklyn Nets?
New Jersey. I had a 201 area code for a really long time.
Yeah, I was there.
But you know, it's like, I think that at that time, the game changed so much and it was, and I say ran the show because I think that like anybody who was in that seat with that team at the time that was leading the entertainment, it really was running the show. Each of you did have your hands in that development and the game and the experience for fans and, you know, ticket holders and corporate partners completely changed. I mean, when I started, it was old school basketball. And by the time I was exiting my time in the NBA family, it was like a full, I don't know, I would call it a circus without meaning to sound derogatory.
No, it honestly was. And, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, the fact that you brought that up is like, when I started at the league, I realized things about myself that I wasn't aware of, such as I was one of very few people that worked at the league at that time that came from a team. There wasn't a lot of people that had team experience that worked at the league. And so when I started evaluating teams, I was able to talk to them. I knew their tricks, you know, I knew what was hiding up their sleeves. I know how to speak their language rather than being the big bad NBA going in and telling, you know, this is what you need to do better sort of thing. So I had a different perspective. And I also learned about like during All-Star Weekend, for example, at NBA Entertainment, I noticed there were groups of producers working on All-Star Weekend. There were groups of directors, there were script writers. And I was like, I'm a producer, I'm a director, I'm a script writer. I do this 40 plus times a year at the Suns for the last 6 years in the Merc, right? Like, so I started identifying myself differently. perspective is everything. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just so interesting because, you know, sometimes I'll talk with different people that were in that era when we were all there, and we were doing such, I guess, like things that had big impact on something that was so visible to so many people. And yet so many of us were early and we're figuring it out along the way. And,
yeah.
And I love the way you talked about your approach of like being able to be real with the people at the teams when you were at the NBA, because you had that experience, you could come from, like, find a like-mindedness. And, you know, I think you could probably translate that to anything that, you know, if you're to be able to connect with people on that same level. And I think that's part of what makes an effective leader is being able to say, okay, I've been here, I've done that, and now let me help to, you know, have an impact on your journey.
Mm-hmm. And it's also being an effective leader is also understanding other people's perspectives.
Yeah.
And they might not agree with you and you might not agree with them. Yeah. But if you understand how people are thinking and where they're coming from, and then you can reroute your messaging, your positioning, so that you're able to communicate with them accordingly, that's when you really become an effective manager or leader. Because then people will automatically respond to you more respectfully when you make an effort to understand them. I mean, that goes in life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you did your time, air quotes, did your time in the NBA family, and you went on to work in the volleyball space doing the world tour, if I'm right. And then you have your company, you have two businesses now, you're an entrepreneur. You have Tenfold Entertainment, and then you're the co-founder of Impact for Learning Institute, correct?
Well, yeah, I'll help you out with that a little bit.
Okay. Please fill it in. I'm doing my best.
You hit the dots. So I was in New York during 9/11, and my family was on the West Coast, and I felt very far away from them. And I did my Sex in the City, you know, I did my time in Manhattan. So then I went to the West Coast to be closer to my family because it was important for me. And it was a 2-3 person office that the NBA had in Santa Monica. And the two guys that were working there were doing product placement for film, music, and TV for the NBA. So Entourage or Joey when he was wearing a Knicks hat, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And so they were working with legal and doing all of that. And then they were also running the NBA Entertainment League. And I was transferred to the West Coast office, and I became in charge of the Western Conference region of evaluating teams with Teambo and also continuing to help with producing events. And in 2008, when the economy crashed, the Board of Governors for the NBA voted against having this NBA Entertainment League, which was this, you know, Hollywood fluffy stuff, right? Which wasn't important. It was a revenue generator for the league at that time. And so I negotiated a deal, and I wound up acquiring that with a partner. And it was fun for a while. It was a very powerful networking room. It was before social media. And so that was great. And then when I was done with that, I went back to my passion of producing large scale live events. And I started my own live event production company called Tenfold Entertainment. And one of our first big gigs out of the gate was with Leonard Armato, who was Shaq's agent for many years. And he also owned the AVP at one point. And he was like, Felisa, I have this idea of creating world-class Olympic style competition with and meshing it with a Coachella music festival vibe. And I want you to help us run it. And I was like, oh, volleyball? It's got balls, it's got fans, it's got players. I'll figure it out. And I did. And it was, yeah. We executive produced that event for 5 years, and it was a blast. It was one of the most fun properties I had ever worked on.
Awesome.
And then it's funny because you mentioned Impact Learning Institute. That came about because when I was doing World Series of Beach Volleyball, I had told Leonard, I was like, Leonard, you realize like NBA All-Star Weekend is like 3.5 days. This is a 6-day live event. It's a pre-qualifying event for the Olympics. It's broadcast live on all NBC platforms, nationally and internationally. Like, I need a staff. I mean, I'm good, but I'm not that good. And he was like, well, we have a limited budget. You know, we're not the NBA either. And I was like, so as an effort to figure that out, I started a relationship with UCLA Anderson Business School and some other of the California schools. And I'm like, I'm going to create my own team department. And I'm going to go find a bunch of hungry young students who are passionate about wanting careers in sports and entertainment. And I was like, I'm just going to go train the hell out of all these kids and turn them into an army of rock stars. And we did. And the next thing you know, I started teaching at UCLA and then saw a window of opportunity to build a business model and pitch a professional development program to them. And they greenlit it, they accepted it. And I'm proud to say that, yeah, now I own my own professional development internship placement and experiential learning project program called Impact Learning Institute for students who want careers in sports and entertainment. And it's awesome. I love it.
I love that you do it. As you're talking about it, I'm like kind of getting the chills. I remember being the person that like, I wanted to be in the industry so badly. I knew no one. And so I had to like, I don't know, do all these crazy things to try to meet people and get involved. And so, and I also think that I actually didn't have an undergrad in sports and entertainment, which so many people do nowadays. Yeah. But sometimes I've seen some of the people come out and a lot of times they don't have that real understanding or working knowledge of it. And I love that what you're doing is actually helping to create people who are job ready, who can hit the ground running, who can go to these teams, to these leagues, you know, and actually get right in there and make an impact. That's so great.
We have some incredible case studies too, and we're all inclusive. This is an opportunity for students who can afford the program. We have a scholarship arm, a 501c3 for students who cannot afford the program. It's for everybody who just has the heart and the passion, who wants to learn. And we've placed people at Wasserman, at the Dodgers, at Brillstein Entertainment in Hollywood. You know, it's just been a beautiful journey, especially through COVID.
Yeah.
When, like, what can we do to make the world a better place? You know, I have no control over politics. I have no control over COVID, but you know, what's in my control? And that's when I really made a conscientious effort to just focus on helping make the world a better place, one human at a time, one student at a time. And so that's, while the world was twiddling their thumbs and trying to figure out what to do, I started calling all my, you know, people who would typically big time me, you know, Felice, I'm busy, what's going on? Everybody wants to give back. And honestly, that's the beauty of all of this, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've talked about the network you developed. And I have to say, like, I mean, from what I know from knowing you and what I know of you from others say, I mean, you're just one of the most well-connected, like true, real friendships with the most influential people in the hottest spaces. And so, you know, I personally think that your authenticity has a lot to do with that. You keep it real no matter who you're dealing with. And I'm curious, like your thought on that, like what's, you know, what helps keep you grounded in, you know, when you're kind of rubbing elbows with those type of people, what helps you to maintain those friendships, those relationships, so that, you know, you're able to bring good things together?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the authenticity. You know, I pride myself in that. I treat people the way that I want to be treated. I'm pretty much honest and transparent. 100%, I would say 100%, but most of the time. And you know what? I think people in life, everyone has a story.
Mm.
And I love learning about people's stories. Mm. One of the first questions that I ask the students is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then when I bring the speakers on, these high level, you know, bigger than life, you know, types of people, and I ask them, I dial them back to be relatable to the students. And I said, where did you grow up?
Yeah.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Right.
And then I take them through the journey of all of that. And it's just fascinating. I mean, there's one woman, she was the GM of ESPN. And what did she want to be when she grew up? A park ranger. And it's just like, how do you go from dreaming about being a park ranger as a child to becoming the GM of ESPN? It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I love learning about people. And I think that, you know, even if you know the most, like, I love Whitney Houston, and I had a chance. I sat next to her. I don't know why I just quoted, but like I was placed next to her at a table, and I was so nervous. Like I never get nervous around celebrities, but for her, because I just love. And I said, has there anyone that's ever made you cry when you've listened to them perform? And she's like, she thinks about it. And she looked at me and she said, yes. And I said, can I ask who? And she said, my mother.
Oh.
And I was like, well, that's how you make me feel. Yeah. And that was just a real moment. Like, I don't want an autograph. I don't want to
picture. Yeah.
I want to learn about her.
Right.
You know? So I feel that way about you. I feel that way about everybody. When people are real and honest with you, even if it hurts your feelings,
yeah,
you don't care.
No.
Because not everybody's made to get along in this world. And I'd rather know where I stand than feeling like you're being fake to me or superficial. Yeah. I don't like that.
That's the thing. And I think short of admitting that I kind of obsess about this whole being real and authentic, it feels literally like suffocating to me to not be this way. Mm-hmm. I'm on a quest to be around and elevate voices of, and this is a huge part of this podcast, is elevating other people who are like that. Because so many times when you're, you know, in business and you're dealing with someone who is fake, or, you know, there's something underhanded there. And you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. And it's like, I just don't, at this point, I don't really have time and energy that I want to put there.
Who does? Anyway? I mean, I tell my students, I'm like, you know, in this world, this wacky world that we're living in right now, it's ridiculous that we have to be brave to tell the truth.
Ugh.
Right?
Yep.
It's an interesting path that we have to choose in moments, but I always encourage people, tell the truth.
Oh, tell 100%. I have this I don't lie policy. That's just how I operate. I don't lie. I don't hide things.
Yeah.
And I had to say to someone, I was like, well, they asked me about, you know, how I wanted to address something. And I was like, well, I have this policy, which doesn't always work well for everybody involved, because I'm just going to be honest,
yeah.
You know, and I just think that it's because I think the opposite of that has so many chances for repercussions.
I used to lie as a child. I became good at it. And it wasn't because I was trying to be mischievous. It was because it was like a survival skill for me.
Yeah. Right?
Not dating the right type of guy. I come from a Jewish family, and I didn't, you know, my parents took me to Arizona. There wasn't a lot of Jews then, but I wanted to go to the prom. I wanted to kiss a boy. Like, you know, I wanted to do these things. And so I became a lying person. But then when I moved to New York, I made a vow to myself. I said, I'm never going to lie again. There's no reason to. And I haven't. Maybe a little white lie here and there, but like, I feel very good telling the truth. It's freeing, to be honest.
Yeah. It's so true. I love how you said that. You feel very good telling the truth, and it's freeing. And, you know, and I think that, again, like a lot of times people think that people who are leaders, we were talking about this earlier, people who are very successful, air quotes, meaning they have a lot of money, you know, sometimes those are people who have gotten there by not being real, and I just don't, it's my choice that I don't want to go that route.
Right.
And I think that there's so many other people who, like yourself. And that's, you know, why I'm just so grateful that you've come on today, and that, you know, I have an opportunity to bring other leaders forward who are leading with integrity. You and I talked about that word earlier, and that word is so important.
Well, I cement every single day when I teach the students, I cement a phrase that I would like to coin, by the way. I don't know if I'm able to, but I tell them there's three things that we all need to earn in life. And if you ask any of my alumni students, they'll be like, what's the three things? They'll say trust, respect, and credibility. Earning being the operative word.
Yeah.
And if you don't, and I'm constantly always finding that I have to re-earn these things in different environments that I'm in, or different societies, or different people, whatever the case may be, right? Like, when I thought I had done it all and met everybody I needed to meet and establish my career, I get a job at the University of Texas as the consultant for one of the richest athletic departments in the country. And talk about having to re-earn trust, respect, and credibility. I really needed to do that in a way that I had never had to in my past. And when you earn those things, you don't earn those things by being dishonest. You don't earn those things by lying. You know, you can't. People aren't going to trust you.
Yeah. Oh, those are so great. I'm so glad you shared those with us. So I'm going to go to something that you said a minute ago is about having to be brave, and that it's this crazy thing that we have to choose to be brave. And yet we do, and you do. And so I want to turn to something that you were sharing with me, because I just really admire the way that you are so brave in the way you use your voice, especially about, you know, for women in the sports and industry, sports entertainment industry. I think it's for women in general in careers, but you know, you and I can speak of it from what we've seen in the sports entertainment industry. And that's a discussion around fertility and, you know, becoming a mom. And you and I were talking about how, you know, the WNBA now has a platform related to that. And I know it's a passionate space for you, and you are brave enough to use your voice on that. So I'd love for you to share your perspective on that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Because another vow that I made to myself is that I do have a voice, and I have a powerful voice. And I made a vow to use it whenever I have the platform or opportunity to, and, you know, it's not something that I shout out from the mountaintops, but yeah, one of the reasons that I left the NBA is because I've always wanted to be a mother, and I wanted to have children more than I ever wanted anything, more than I ever wanted a career, but I have an A-type personality. So, you know, opportunities kept coming to me and I'm like, let's go, next. And, you know, women have a clock. I don't care what no one can tell me differently. And my clock was hitting its expiration point. And one of the reasons that I left the NBA is because I wanted to have children and I wanted to have a family. And I've always wanted what I have come from. And I wound up going through a very intense and very hurtful fertility journey. Thanks. What's your dog name?
Petey. She's making her debut. Sorry, folks.
Oh, Petey's got me.
Petey's got your back.
Yeah. And and I wound up losing 6 babies. And it was the most crushing experience I've ever had. And I wish that I had someone who had the personality and the voice and the strength like mine talking to me when I was 30 years old at the NBA. A female in an extremely male-dominated industry at that time, where these kinds of subjects weren't very exposed.
Right, not at all.
They weren't comfortable to discuss, especially within the work environment. You know, we didn't have Kardashians back then talking about it so casually, and, you know, it was a little bit of a taboo subject just in general, right? So, right. And nobody was educating me on it. So that's why I vow to be someone to educate. And I've had other people who, you know, have gotten pregnant because I was annoying. My voice was annoying, you know, and I put it into perspective. Like I've always wanted a little Felisa or a little Felisa, you know, running around with big curly hair and wasn't in my cards, interestingly enough. Yeah. So, yeah. I encourage everybody who wants their own biological children to start early and get their eggs checked early and prior to 30. And it's a rough ride.
And also have that opportunity if you're in an industry that has some of those dynamics that, you know, there are resources available, there are people to turn to. And I think there's
call me. Anyone who ever has a question about anything fertility wise, please, I encourage it. Call me and I will be there for you, honestly.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And it's such a part, like, you know, we talked about impact earlier and it's, you know, so much. And, you know, it's just like an extension of that is trying to help other people almost like learn through a painful situation that you've gone through. You're trying to actually use it to help better this world. And like, I really admire it and I applaud it. And I thank you for doing that for people in so many ways, you know, but especially on a topic that other people like want to shy away from or don't quite feel comfortable talking about. So again,
I've always kept my private life private. Mm-hmm. I've never exposed my relationships and that, because it's precious for me, you know. And but yeah, I mean, I did notice that when I started opening my mouth and discussing it with other people, that other people shared similar journeys or heartbreaks or whatever the case may be. And so I find that you find communities once you do feel comfortable to not feel, or to feel comfortable to feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, and share. And I share this with the students. Mm. I think it's really important, not just for young women, but for young men too, you know.
Oh yeah.
They want families, but they don't necessarily understand what really goes into that sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that's so interesting. So to wrap up the time we have together, talk about the Impact Learning Institute. What's next? Like, what are you trying to do with it? Are you looking for anything in particular to help you? It's already really taking off, but like, what are the things that you're looking for to really help get it to the next level? And what does that look like?
It looks like money.
It looks green.
It looks green. Or it looks plastic, you know. Not interested in Bitcoin, not just yet. But yeah, I want the tangible stuff. And
it's a 501c3. So you have.
There's a 501c3 component. So it's a for profit. It's a premium professional development program. Mm-hmm. And it gives students access to the ultimate decision makers and some of the biggest people in sports and entertainment and media. And in a way that they wouldn't otherwise never have that opportunity. It cuts out the middleman.
Yeah.
Or woman. And we have a 501c3. We've had, you know, students who are, you know, diverse and all inclusive and first generation and, you know, disabled. Yeah. And it's, again, it's just about helping to empower your dreams come true and giving you the guidance and the strength and the tools to be able to do it. And also the networking. My network is now their net worth.
Nice.
And this is my give back. And you know, I'll never know why I wasn't afforded the opportunity to become a mother. And maybe there's a bigger purpose for me. And I think that, you know, the love that I get from these students and the authenticity and the realness of watching them grow, and they call me when they're excited and they're like, couldn't do this without you. And I'm like, no. It's because you made those choices. You took the initiative. You wanted this. I just helped guide you, you know? And so it's a really rewarding and special and joyful feeling for me. So
that's awesome.
So I need salespeople. I need money. I need people to help underwrite scholarships.
Okay.
Please ask me any questions. Those are the three primary things I need. So yeah, okay. I'm financing this myself. Investors, unless you understand the magic that goes on between me and these students, and you know, there's a whole opportunity to scale. We have some of the best people in the country to help with this, you know, as far as being professors and coaches and mentors and sharks, as you know, we Shark Tank people. So,
Well, that's great. All right.
Thank
well,
you for
folks.
Asking. It.
Yeah, absolutely. You've heard it here, folks. So if you're someone or you know someone, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much. So in last thing is, talked a lot of things here. Impact, integrity, being real, authentic. Mm-hmm. So we've got one thing to give people as your takeaway from this here, our time today. What would that be?
That would be in the essence of being honest and telling the truth, the person that you need to be most honest with is yourself.
Mm.
Do not sell out. Do not sell out. Just don't do it. Stay true to yourself. Stay true to who you are and stay true to your passions, and your dreams will come true.
That's a wrap, folks. Thank you so much, Felisa. You're the woman. Appreciate you. You have an awesome day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks, everybody.